Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbilly, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thoughts, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steve, a self-proclaimed student of life in research, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, sugar. Is sugar a drug? Some people call it the other cane. I find that when people use the word sugar, it doesn't tell what kind of sugar they are talking about. But there are, for some, there is a calculated reason, economics, for not disclosing which type of sugar you're referring to. My friend informed me that the body does process sugar in the form of glucose. Glucose is a simple sugar, which is an important energy source in living organisms and is a component of many carbohydrates. Any other large group of organic compounds that include sugar, starch, and cellulose containing hydrogen and oxygen in the same ratio as water, 2:1, and used as structural material and for energy storage within living tissues, sometimes referred to as the good sugar, right? Then it is of fructose, which is found in honey and fruit, right? Which they say good too, right? In its natural state, right? Then there's sucrose, a compound which is the chief component of cane or beet sugar, which is natural. Cane and beet sugar is a natural source, right? Which is a type of sugar made up of one molecule of glucose and one molecule of fructose joined together, which is processed into the sugar you purchase from the store, you know, that white stuff, right? So most of the, a lot of the sugar that you, that we put in our tea, coffee, cakes and stuff like that is made from cane and beet, right? Sugar, right? It said that they hold the most sugar in those plants hold a lot of sugar, right? So then we have high fructose corn syrup, right? It's a sweetener made from cornstarch, some of which glucose has been converted to fructose that is used in commercially produced foods and soft drinks as a cheaper alternative to sucrose, right? It is said by some not to be any worse for you than white sugar, right? That's debatable. And I know it was illegal to have that in some food sources, as a food source in some places in Europe. What was that? Okay. White processed sugar and high fructose corn syrup are called the bad sugars. Any processed sugar may get a bad grade based on how it is processed. I'm led to believe that the sugar in question is mainly, oh my God, what is going on here? Okay, we have a little technical issue here. Okay, I'm led to believe that the sugar in question is mainly the processed sugar, the white sugar, and the high fructose corn syrup, because those are processed in ways that change the nature of the sugar. Okay, this is going to happen all night. And I don't have a way of, y'all got to excuse this noise, something's coming through on my computer. Anyway, if sugar is toxic for a drug, the next question is, why is so much of it being distributed to the world population? Why is the government focusing on cocaine, heroin, and other drugs? Oh, that's annoying. Why are they focusing on cocaine, heroin, and other drugs when they have a monster in just about every household in the United States? When they were having their war on drugs, why did they exclude sugar? Could it be because it is so sweet, or are the sugar corporations and interest groups just that powerful? When you think about it, sugar is commercially, economically, literally, and figuratively a sweet deal, right? From life science, right? Sugar kills sugar drinks. Sugary drinks kill 184,000 people every year. Sugary drinks cause 184,000 deaths worldwide annually, including 25,000 deaths in the United States, according to a new study from life science, right? Statista.com says, in the past 2 years, the number of deaths from cocaine overdose has risen in the United States with around 15,883 such deaths in 2019. Okay, it's no better, but it's less than sugary drink deaths are, right? The National Institute on Drug Abuse said overdose deaths involving heroin rose from 1,960 in 1999 to 15,469 in 2016. Since 2016, the number of deaths has trended down, with 3,165 deaths reported in 2020. Due to math, 13,000 is less than 25,000 deaths, right? From the CDC. Provisional data from the CDC, the Center for Disease and says the National Center for Health Statistics indicate that there were an estimated 100,306 drug overdose deaths in the United States during the 12-month period ending in April 2021, right? Now, that's a lot. That's all drug overdose stuff. Genius Recovery. The chemical makeup of sugar contains fructose, they say. It's a substance that actively interferes with our brain function and enables our addiction to sweet flavors. It helps you become addicted, right? Sugar ingestion can activate the human brain's pleasure centers, right? And as I said at the beginning, they use the word sugar, right? But in this ingenious recovery, they're referring to fructose, right? Sugar contains an active, sugar ingestion can activate the human brain's pleasure center, right? And our body, after the body digests a sugary food, these pleasure centers release large amounts of a chemical called dopamine. That's to be familiar, if anybody's familiar with addiction, right? Which is the same chemical responsible for sexual pleasure. However, the brain's pleasure center becomes desensitized with each use, right? That's like tolerance, right? So every time we consume sugar, the dopamine high decreases. That means that we have to consume more sugar in order to achieve the same level of dopamine release and the feeling of happiness it triggers. That's referred to as the sugar high, right? It was also the same principles of addiction, right? This is the same neurological process that makes it difficult to quit using drugs like cocaine and heroin. From Statista, right? The global production of sugar exceeds 180 million metric tons annually. Brazil dominated the global market in terms of production. The United States was also ranked among the top producers, generating some 8.4 million metric tons in 2020. Sugar is almost completely extracted from two crops, sugar cane and sugar beet. Right? From PubMed, the National Library of Medicine, right? In animal studies, sugar is found to produce more symptoms than is required to be considered an addictive substance. Animal data has shown significant overlap between the consumption of added sugars and drug-like effects, including binging, craving, tolerance, withdrawal, cross-sensitization, cross-tolerance, cross-dependence, reward, and opioid effects, right? Sugar addiction seems to be dependent to the natural opioids that get released upon sugar intake. So, apparently some natural opioids inside of you that get released. That sounds crazy to me. But anyway, this is what the guy is saying. In both animals and humans, the evidence in the literature shows substantial parallel and overlap between drugs of abuse and sugar. From that standpoint of brain neurochemistry as well as behavior. Wow. That should change the perception of the candy store, right? You know, the one the children line up in before and after school. I saw a line of people waiting in the cold outside of a bakery one day. It reminded me of another familiar scene. If you have a sweet tooth, you probably have an addiction to sugar. It's FDA approved or not FDA disapproved. Global News Wire, right? New York, July 29th, 2020, right? They say the market of the global industrial sugar market is expected to reach $45.6 billion in the year of 2027 in terms of value, right? Industrial sugar is a flourishing commodity across the world that is driving the market. An increase in the usual international prices and the surge in the importance of international trade of sugar are resulting in the rising demand for industrial sugar. Furthermore, the progress is principally supplemented by the increasing population and the growing consumption of sweetened items. More people are eating sweets. According to this, more people who are exposed to sweets are going to eat more sweets because it's addictive, right? And I'm not saying that it's not. Go figure. If you really want to know, follow the money trail. For all you powerless, broke sugar addicts, that means unless you find the inner strength to kick the sugar habit, you will continually be hit with a tidal wave of that white stuff or addictive toxic sugar products. How about sugar is the only drug your parents actually cop for you? How about that? The only drug your parents actually cop for you, rewarded you with, and shared with you. That would make sugar a gateway drug. And all of that before you were in kindergarten, talking about people, places, and things. Children are targeted by sweet cereal and candy industries. We're hooked before we know it. How can something that tastes so good be so bad? Instead of trap houses, they have bakeries, supermarkets, and corner stores. Even law enforcement line up to get this stuff. Target population over 7.8 billion people or the world. I always wondered why they put sugar in items that weren't known to be sweet, like the peanut butter crackers. Or peanut butter. I don't eat peanut butter for sweetness. I don't eat peanut for sweetness. But peanut butter crackers, You see sometimes sugar. Like, yo, I have always been suspicious of the disease sugar diabetes or sugar diet beat us. That's the way I like to say it. That shit. Sugar diet beating you. Right? It's a hell of a marketing scheme. In fact, it's evil genius. Creating a demand for a product, or should I say creating a dependency for a product, will increase sales tremendously. Normalizing it will guarantee astronomical sales. Imagine a cartel having a government, industry, and the people perpetuate the distribution, sell, and use of this drug. I did say it was evil genius. That is like sprinkling cocaine on everything just to make sure you come back. How sweet it is. I heard there's a war on sugar. Forbes had an article on this war that they're supposed to be having on sugar. Talked about how $1 billion is being wasted in the war on sugar. So I could think, are they kicking the doors here? What? Throwing people up against the wall? What's going on? Anyway, several prominent public health organizations have pledged to spend an estimated $825 million over the next 10 years to promote sugar taxes, ban junk food advertising, change package labels, and do research related to healthier eating and food industry practices. Since 2009, beverage companies alone have spent approximately $200 million to protect their sugary signature products federally and locally. As threats of additional taxation, millions are more likely to be spent, right? But these investments only fatten the wallets of lobbyists and advertising agencies, right? According to the latest data from the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, right, and prevention, right, an alarming 37% of Americans are obese, with half of the 50 states exhibiting obesity rates exceeding 30%. So I guess that's like 25% of the states that people, 30% of their population who are obese. And they're attributing this to sugar, right? Sugar consumption. Well, that's not really a war on sugar. The drug, because it's still legal to sell and use sugar. So that, what kind of war are you having on something that's legal? I can go to the supermarket and get a 5-pound bag of sugar, but I can't get a 5-pound bag of cocaine because it's illegal. Oddly enough, cocaine is as plentiful as sugar. How about that war on sugar? And not a shot fired. Now that's gangster. From the science of cooking, sugar. Sugar is a sweet crystalline substance obtained from various plants, especially sugar cane and sugar beet, consisting essentially of sucrose and used as a sweetener in food and drink. Any class of soluble, crystalline, typically sweet-tasting carbohydrates found in living tissues and exemplified by glucose or sucrose. That word carbohydrate being tied to sugars, some sugars is debatable amongst some people. So what is a sugar? The white stuff we know as sugar is sucrose, right? That's that 5-pound bag of sugar you can get in the supermarket, right? A molecule composed of 12 atoms of carbon, 22 atoms of hydrogen, and 11 atoms of oxygen, right? C12H22O11. Like all compounds made from these three elements, sugar is a carbohydrate. It's found naturally in most plants, but especially sugar cane and sugar beets. Sucrose is actually two simple sugars stuck together, fructose and glucose. In recipes, a little bit of acid, for example, some lemon juice or cream of tartar will cause sucrose to break down into these two all components. So you look closely at a dry sugar, you'll notice it comes in little cube-like shapes, right? These are sugar crystals, ordinary arrangements of sucrose molecules. What happens when you heat a sugar solution, right? I say when you heat, when you add water to sugar, the sugar crystals dissolve, and the sugar goes into solution. But you can't dissolve an infinite amount of sugar into a fixed volume of water. When as much sugar has been dissolved into a solution as possible, the solution is said to be saturated. The saturated point is different at different temperatures. The higher the temperature, the more sugar that can be held in the solution. When you cook a batch of candy, you cook sugar, water, and various other ingredients to extremely high temperatures. At these high temperatures, the sugar remains in solution, even though much of the water has boiled away, right? But when the candy is through cooking, it begins to cool. There is more sugar in solution than is normally possible. The solution is said to be saturated with sugar. Supersaturation is an unstable state. The sugar molecules will begin to crystallize back into a solid at the least provocation. Stirring or jostling any kind can cause the sugar to begin crystallizing. That sounds familiar too. Why are crystals undesirable in some candy recipes, and how do you stop them from forming? The fact that sugar solidifies as a crystal is extremely important in candy making. I know some people who would agree with that. There are basically two categories of candy: crystalline candies, which contain crystals in their finished form, such as fudge and fondant, and non-crystalline candies, which do not contain crystals, such as lollipops, taffies, and caramels, and stuff like that, right? One way to prevent crystallization of the source of candy is to make sure that there are other types of sugar, usually fructose and glucose, to get in the way, right? Acids such as lemon juice or cream of tartar sauce cause sucrose to break up or invert into its two simpler components, fructose and glucose, right? Fatty ingredients such as butter help interfere with the crystallization. Coffee owes its smooth texture, easy breakability to an absence of sugar crystals, right? Right. So from our due recovery, they speak on addiction to sugar, right? They say brain scans show that intermittent sugar consumption affects the brain much like certain drugs. So the next time you crave something sweet, it may be more than just a sweet tooth. It could be an addiction, they say. You need to address the Journal of Neuroscience and Biobehavioral Review, they found that sugar meets the criteria for substance of abuse, and those who binge on it could be addicted. A study from the Science Direct concluded that sugar releases opioids and dopamine, therefore could have this addictive potential. There are four components of sugar addiction analyzed, including binging, withdrawal, craving, cross-sensitization. These components were all demonstrated behaviorally, with sugar binging being the reinforcer and are related to neurological changes in the brain that also occur with addictive drugs. Statistics on sugar. The American Heart Association cited research showing sugary soft drinks are responsible for 180,000 deaths worldwide annually. Because of this, they recommend that adults consume less than 450 calories per week of sugar sweetened beverages. This means no more than 2 20-ounce bottles of soda a week. You know, somebody drink that at a park. Might drink like at least two of them. Definitely on a beach and on a hot summer day, you might just take on that 2 liters. Anyway, I don't advise anybody to do that. I'm just saying that sometimes people do that. I'm giving out advice. Anyway, the CDC, right, Center for Disease Control, right, that place that everybody's depending on for the COVID stuff, showed that the average American derives about 30% of their daily calorie intake from added sugar. Men get about 335 calories per day average, while women get about 239, right? Foods that contain added sugars without a person's knowledge in them, right? Although soda is an easy scapegoat, there are foods that contain sugars without a person. Like I just talked about that cracker, right? Peanut butter cracker, you know. It don't taste sweet, but it got sugar in it, so I guess it's that potent. Processed foods, salad dressings, and even spaghetti sauce can contain upwards of 9 to 10 grams of sugar or more. So, I was very surprised to see the spaghetti sauce had sugar in it. I heard of people putting sugar in their spaghetti, but like when they eat it, I heard of that too. Sugar withdrawal, there's some things that happen when you have a withdrawal from sugar. And here they are. Yeah, headache, depression, anxiety, insomnia, cravings, cognitive issues, irritability, fatigue, tingling, nausea, light headache, or dizziness. Say it ain't so. Sugar can't be a drug. Can't do the same thing to you as a drug. It comes from a plant, but then everything comes from something. Some organism, a form of life on the planet. But sugar? You know what I'm saying? Those sodas, those birthday cakes, those Halloween candies, popsicles, ice cream. No, the sugar itself. That syrup, that pancake syrup. Which is a lot of time high fructose or corn syrup. Anyway, that stuff tastes good. If everything tastes good, it's not good for you. That's what I'm getting out of this. And sometimes people try to hide the fact that something is bad for you and say that it's good for you and promote it because they know you're going to buy it because you love it. Not only do you love it, you're addicted to it. You might not even know it. So, sugar is a drug. You are addicted. This article is by Christopher Rebus. Hosted in Moving and Eating and Fitness and Exercise, right? He goes on to say, sugar is a drug. You are addicted. Sugar is a drug. There are many addictions out there, right? Everything from alcohol, which you can make out of sugar, to gambling, to smoking. What people don't think about as often, but is the most relevant addiction today, is sugar. I'm saying that's like the most relevant, you know, or popular, common addiction. I guess it would be if you put it in food, and you put it in the sweet, because we love sweet stuff. Like I said, I think people lying outside a bakery on a cold day You know, it's COVID, so you got to line outside. They line outside, wait, trying to get that, whatever, that cake or whatever, pies or donuts or whatever she's selling. So, I know I used to eat a half, a quarter of a cheesecake myself on my way to school, pineapple cheesecake. Buy that, walk to school. I had to walk to school back in the day. A long walk, so I downed a quarter cheesecake. They said the average American consumes 32 teaspoons of sugar a day. Many people believe that sugar is just a harmless kitchen ingredient, but in reality, it is a major culprit of illness occurring in society. Major. Say sugar is a major culprit of illness in society. Right? White refined sugar is not a food, they said. It is a chemical. It is a drug. It is addictive. It actually causes people to experience withdrawal symptoms like tremors, headaches, mood swings, and flu-like symptoms. Woo! Man. The biochemical makeup of sugar is only one molecule away from being that of alcohol. Woo! And we know how addictive and harmful alcohol is. That's crazy. The biochemical makeup of sugar, only one molecule away from being that of alcohol. I guess it is what it is, and I'm no one to dispute that, but that is weird. It has no nutritional value, is an empty calorie, and depletes the body from vitamin E and minerals, mineral reserves, creating many health problems. Refined white sugar is very different from the complex sugar found in whole foods, such as fruit, right? The sucrose, right? The fructose, I mean, right? All right, so sugar is addictive, they say, okay? They give you 5 V. People eat sugar compulsively, regardless of the negative consequences. Neurotransmitters in the brain, like dopamine and serotonin, are impacted in the same manner as alcohol and hard drugs, like cocaine. When people eat sugar regularly, they must build up tolerance to achieve the same experience. Ooh-wee. Over time, sugar is required for normal functioning, much like an alcohol. Yeesh. Number 5, when one stops eating sugar, they experience withdrawal symptoms. Okay. Unfortunately, sugar addiction is completely acceptable. People often joke about their sugar cravings. They don't take it seriously, but it's very serious. They say addiction to sugar often is also the result of a food allergy or food sensitivity. When you are allergic or sensitive to a food, you often develop an addiction to it. It's just crazy to me. I'm not saying it's not true. This stuff is so bizarre about the sugar. And sugar just tastes so good. You know, like chocolate cake. Imagine that yellow chocolate cake. You know what I'm saying? That banana pudding casserole. You know what I'm saying? Ooh. Man, sugar addiction causes major health problems. It damages the nervous system, the endocrine system, the metabolic system, the cardiovascular system, the gastrointestinal system, and the immune system. Wow, that's like saying sugar is just straight up killing you. Now, the sugar we're talking about here is the refined white sugar. Because as I said previously, we use the word sugar, but sometimes we don't always say which sugar we're referring to. But this guy did say, talk about this refined sugar, right, processed. Refined sugar that was made out of them, usually made out of beet and cane sugar. It's not the beet and cane sugar, it's the problem. It's the processing, right? What you do to it, right? So, anyway, if that's not enough, it wreaks havoc, right, on primary organs like the liver, kidneys, colon, and pancreas. Woo! And just look at the statistics for liver, kidney, colon, and pancreas disease and autism. You can correlate that to sugar. I don't know. You have to take a lot of research to do that. But that is a lot. That is a serious indictment against sugar, processed sugar. And you know, for all the holidays and birthdays and marriages, because you know we get the layer cake for the marriages, whatever that we use the sugar for all these happy occasions. To think that we are, you know, poisoning ourselves and just breaking our bodies down, like all our systems down, just moving that closer to an untimely death. You know, that's where, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's sad. Health problems and the link to sugar consumption. They got mood swings, irritability, aggression, and depression. Woo! Because this has something to do with the, violence in this country. Depletion of mineral level, hyperactivity, anxiety, or panic attack, chromium deficiency, depletion of the adrenal gland, type 2 diabetes, hypoglycemia, obesity, binging, right? They go hand in hand, right? Candida overgrowth. That's like candida is a bacteria or fungus or something like that, right? High cholesterol. Antisocial behavior such as that found in crime and delinquent. Well, I guess it could have something, according to these guys, has something to do with the violence in your community, right? Anger and control issue. There is another thing, right? So we need to take, is that the answer? Insomnia, chronic fatigue, decreased immune function. That means you're going to be more sickly. Neurotransmitter deficiency. That's how your body functions. Moving your fingers and all that stuff. High blood pressure, heart disease, asthma, alcoholism, acne, PMS, OCD, fibromyalgia, attention deficit, right? Well, if you're hyped up on sugar, it's going to be hard to sit still, right? Cancer, hormone imbalance, arthritis. This is an inflammation, right? So anyway. The immune system is sugar. The consumption of sugar is considered to be one of the three major causes of degenerative disease in America, even by the American Diabetes Association. Sugar is so destructive, it can probably be linked to just about any health condition you think of and then some. So, this is information alone is just putting a whole new spin on looking at the candy section in the grocery store when you pass a bakery and things like that. Because, sugar suppresses the immune system. It depletes levels of phagocytes, the white blood cells that are needed for strong immune function and that eat up harmful bacteria. And this reduces the body's ability to fight infection and disease. I heard somebody say a long time ago, when you're sick, don't eat no sugar. So they must be talking about the white sugar, the right processed sugar, right? So, and it didn't go into all this. I never heard any of this until recently, before tonight, of course I heard it, but I'm hearing it, in detail, like the white blood cells that are needed for strong immune. This is sugar impacting on your white blood cell. It said, regardless of whether you are trying to improve your health or protect it, remove sugar from your diet is probably one of the most important things you can do for yourself and your health. So as a solution, I don't know how we're going to do this unless you stop buying a whole lot of things or start reading and start knowing what these different words are that mean sugar. How they hide sugar on these packages. Removing sugar from your diet is not that simple. It's found in most commercial foods as a preservative, like sugar preserves. How is this thing that's deserves food, but kills us. I guess that's the way it goes. So most, a preservative would, I guess, would do that, right? Because the other stuff they say does the same thing. So you really have to live a health-conscious lifestyle and choose food wisely. Food is in our items like cereal, spaghetti sauce, salad dressing, and peanut butter, right? So, I mean, why you gotta put sugar in everything? They said read the label, we know that, right? I do a lot of reading in supermarkets, but guess what? If you're in there reading, you're never gonna get out of there. And you're never gonna buy anything. Other forms of sugar that should be removed from the diet include maple sugar, raw sugar, turbinado sugar, high fructose corn syrup, fructose, dextrose, maltose, lactose, as well as molasses and honey. Man, you thought you were safe with the honey. Ain't that something? Because I thought, hey, hate fructose, like honey. But maybe they mean processed honey. Because there are two kinds of honey. You can process honey, then you have raw honey. But they said raw sugar is not good for you. But I know raw sugar is better than processed sugar. Raw sugar, like off the sugar cane, because they had a study with that. I don't know if I have time to get to it, but I got a lot of stuff here. Anyway, healthier sweeteners like agave, maple syrup, brown rice syrup, barley malt, and fruit juice sweetened items need to be significantly reduced, as they too will trigger sugar addiction and impact the health in the same negative manner if eaten excessively. So these are the healthier: agave, maple syrup, brown rice syrup, barley malt, and fruit juice, right? I heard fruit juice is really bad for you, really. Like, they too sweet. But they call it a healthier here. So it depends on who's writing the article and I guess what kind of research they came up with. Organic sugar, organic cane syrup, organic cane juice should go as well, as they are not really much healthier. This thing, organic sugar, organic cane syrup. Oh, wow. That's like, man, it's almost like get off the sugar. Sugar's bad for you, right? Don't even mess with it. So how do you break your addiction to sugar? Here's just a few suggestions. Think of sugar as a simple carb. Sugar and simple carbs as addictive drugs, not as food. Think of sugar and simple carbs as addictive drugs, not as food. Keep sugar and sugar products out of the house so that they reduce your temptation. Yep, you right about that. Plan ahead. Don't show up at the party or go out with friends to a restaurant starving, right? Use whole foods such as snacks, such as fruit, nuts, jerky, yuck, to reduce cravings for sweets. Jerky. Exercise regularly to reduce cravings. Eat more protein and fat. Fat. Breaking sugar addiction can be very difficult. Give yourself lots of love and forgiveness, even if you make mistakes, right? Basically, take it one day at a time, right? Y'all heard that before, right? Refined sugar, the sweetest poison of all, by William Duffy. Why sugar is toxic to the body, right? In 1957, Dr. William Coder Martin tried to answer the question, when is a food, and when is it a poison? Working definition of poison was, medically, any substance applied to the body, ingested or developed within the body, which causes or may cause disease. Physically, any substance which inhibits the activity of the catalyst, which is a minor substance, chemical, or enzyme that activates a reaction. The dictionary gives an even broader definition of poison: to exert a harmful influence on or to pervert. Dr. Martin classified refined sugar as a poison because it has been depleted of its life forces, vitamins and minerals, which is left. What is left consists of pure refined carbohydrates. The body cannot utilize this refined starch and carbohydrate unless the depleted proteins, vitamins and minerals are present, right? Nature supplies these elements in each plant in quantities sufficient to metabolize the carbohydrate in the particular plant. There is no excess for other added on carbohydrate. Incomplete carbohydrate metabolism results in the formation of toxic metabolites such as pyruvic acid and abnormal sugars containing 5 carbon atoms. Pyruvic acid accumulates in the brain and nervous system and the abnormal sugars in the red blood cell. Wow, man. The toxic metabolites interfere with the respiration of the cell. They cannot get sufficient oxygen to survive and function normally. In time, some of the cells die. That sounds like cancer. Except the cancer, the cells overgrown out of control. This interferes with the function of a part of the body and is the beginning of degenerative disease. Breaking down, that's degenerative, right? Degenerate, breaking down, right? So not degenerate, right? Refined sugar is lethal when ingested by humans because it provides only that which nutritionists describe as empty or naked calories. It lacks the natural minerals which are present in the sugar or beet cane. So sugar or beet cane, it's good till you refine it, right? Process it, right? In addition, sugar is worse than nothing, they said, because it drains and leaches the body of precious vitamins and minerals through the demand in digestion, detoxification, and elimination makes upon one's entire system. So essential is the balance of our bodies that we have many ways to provide against sudden shock of a heavy intake of sugar. Minerals such as sodium from salt, potassium, and magnesium from vegetables, and calcium from the bones are metabolized and used in chemical transmutation. Neutral acids are produced which attempt to return the acid-alkaline balance factor of the blood to a more normal state. So you're draining your body. Your body is away from itself to fight this sugar. Apparently, the acidity of the sugar. And if you don't know about acidity and alkaline, you know if you acidic, that facilitates and perpetuates disease, right? Sugar taken every day product a continuously over acid condition. Sugar taken every day produces a continuously over acid condition, as I just said, right? And more minerals are required from deep in the body in an attempt to rectify the imbalance. So your body's trying to balance itself, not to be too acidic, because if you're too acidic, you will become ill, right? Finally, in order to protect the blood, so much calcium is taken from the bones and teeth that decay and general weakness begins. Woo! Man. Excess sugar eventually affects every organ in the body. Initially, it is stored in the liver in the form of glucose. So sugar impacts on the liver. So you can have a liver disease and not know that it's the sugar. Or is it known that it's the sugar? I'm assuming that medical professionals know that sugar causes liver disease. And that's everybody, because we raised on sugar. As I said, like birthday, holidays, special days, walking to school as I did, you know what I'm saying? Hey. Just bake a cake because you want a cake. You know what I'm saying? Get by a cake because you feel like eating some cake. You know what I'm saying? Chocolate cake. What's that, ladies? Sarah Lee used to bake some nice cake. Anyway, seems like we've been poisoning ourselves. We've been having a good time doing it, but I'm not supposed to poke at it. So the person used coke, they having a good time on that coke. But it's just a matter of time for that cocaine gets to them, and apparently it's just a matter of time before that other cane gets to you. It's here. Sugar. So I wonder if it's any relationship. Sounds like it has more relationship to alcohol than it does to cocaine. But this looks like cocaine. Well, not really, but you know. When these comparatively harmless places are completely filled, right? Fatty acids have been distributed among active organs such as the heart and kidney. This begins to slow down. Finally, their tissues degenerate, turn to fat. The whole body is affected by their reduced ability and abnormal blood pressure is created. Wow. The parasympathetic nervous system is affected and organs governed by it, such as the small brain, become inactive or paralyzed. Okay. Now, it sounds like we need more than a war on sugar. We need to be educated. And, you know, a long time ago, there's this book called How to Eat the Dead. And it sounds like we just are so far away from eating to live. We just eat because it tastes good, or we at this, you know, these authors are saying we eat because we are addicted to something in the food, the food, the processing of the food of that we consume. We are just eating feel good. We're not eating to actually feel good, like physically feel good. I don't know how to say it, you know, be good. We don't want to physically be good. We want to physically feel good. So in contrast, we tear our bodies down to feel good. We sacrifice being good, physically being good, to physically or mentally feel good. I guess that's it, right? I don't know. This is really crazy because this is sugar. I mean, like, I don't have sugar in my house, but I was raised with sugar. Sugar donuts. You know, I remember them. Sugar cookies. All of that kind of stuff. Anyway, refined sugars taken daily, these bacteria will all. I gotta read this here. Excessive sugar has a strong mild effect on the function of the brain. The key to orderly brain function is glutamic acid, a vital compound found in many vegetables. Vitamin B vitamins play a major role in dividing glutamic acid into the antagonistic complementary compounds, which produce a proceed or control response in the brain. B vitamins are also manufactured by the symbiotic bacteria which live in our intestines, right? A lot of, when refined sugar is taken daily, these bacteria wither and die, and our stock of vitamin B vitamins gets very low. Too much sugar makes one sleepy. Our ability to calculate and remember is lost. Is that a relationship to Alzheimer's or dementia or something like that? I don't know. I'm not a scientist, and I don't play one on TV. They say sugar is harmful to humans and animals. They did this experiment, right? They fed dogs a diet of sugar or olive oil and water. All the dogs wasted and died, right? They said a steady diet of sugar is worse than nothing. Plain water can keep you alive for quite some time. Sugar and water will kill you. Humans and animals are unable to subsist on a diet of sugar. Dead dogs and Professor McGee's laboratory alerted the sugar industry to the hazards of free scientific inquiry. From that day to this, the sugar industry has invested $1 million in behind-the-scenes subsidized science. This is very, very important, right? Because this experiment they have with these dogs, right, alerted the sugar industry to the hazards of free scientific inquiry. Means I just did this on my own. You're not paying me, and I don't care what you. I don't care if it affects the cells or not. I'm gonna tell the truth. That's what they're talking about, right? So they said the industry invested $1 million in. It's an Amber Alert. Pennsylvania Amber Alert, child abduction. Hope their child is returned to their rightful place unharmed. Anyway, they say the sugar industry invested millions of dollars in behind-the-scenes subsidized science. The best scientific names that money could buy have been hired, in the hope that they could come up with something at least pseudo-scientific in a way of glad tidings about sugar. They wanted somebody to come up with, come on, give us something that we can say sugar is good for, right? It has been proved, however, that sugar is a major factor in dental decay. Sugar is in a person's diet does cause overweight. Removal of sugar from the diet has cured symptoms of crippling worldwide diseases such as diabetes, cancer, and heart disease. As if the was in 1929 in Panama, among plantation owners who ate large amounts of their refined stuff, diabetes was common among native cane cutters who only got to chew the raw cane. He saw no diabetes. This is Sir Frederick Banting, right? He was the co-discoverer of insulin. He noticed this in 1929 at a Panama or was it sugarcane plantation. However, the story of the public relations attempt on the part of the sugar manufacturers began in Britain 1808 when the Committee of the West India reported to the House of Commons that a prize of 25 guineas had been offered to anyone who could come up with the most satisfactory experiment to prove that refined sugar was good for feeding and fattening oxen, cows, hogs, and sheep. Of course, the experiments that they did with that, it killed those animals. So the thing here is what they're trying to say is that the industries and corporations, they pay people to come up with some science to support their product something that conflicts with the other science that says it is harmful. But you see today with a lot of products, you see people arguing over, oh, like today we got the vaccine issue. We got people saying, we got scientists saying, hey, this is good, it's safe. The other scientists say, hey, one guy's saying it causes blood clots. Another guy's saying it's going to cause ADE. These other people saying no ADE. It's all right, take it, it's going to help you, right? Other people saying, one guy said he's going to die in 3 years, you take the vaccine. You know what I'm saying? So you got that kind of science thing going with this sugar. They're trying to get that kind of thing going. You know, but thing about sugar is, the difference between sugar and this vaccine is, hey, I mean, if you eat some, you eat a cake, you don't like a pie or something, you taste that, you don't love it. You know what I'm saying? The vaccine thing, that's something, that's a whole new thing. That some people take the vaccine, they don't want to take it, but they take it, you know what I'm saying? But the sugar thing, hey, once you get a whiff of that, you know? It's amazing though, you know, but you never see nobody hocking their clothes to support their sugar addiction. And they got the same, I'm not trying to say it's not addictive. I'm just saying this guy's saying this is extremely addictive and it kills you. But it, I guess it You don't see people hawking stuff for that. Oh, I stuck up the store. I had to do my, you know, give me your money and all those candy bars. You know what I'm saying? Like, support the tradition, nothing like that. You know. I just, maybe somewhere that might have happened somewhere. I don't know. But you never, you know, it's an addiction there, but I don't see that, I haven't heard, and I don't hear everything. But I was just wondering, is there somebody that's, I got a sugar addiction that, or maybe it's more controlled addiction because you can't, you can get a candy bar. Either you get $5, you can get a lot of candy bars. I guess you get 5 candy bars. I don't know how long it works, how it lasts. You can get some sugar, you know, $5. So it's like, you know, you get a 5-pound bag of sugar, but a 5-pound bag of cocaine, you can even buy that for $5. So maybe that's got something to do with it. I don't know. Anyway, but you never see nobody, you know, tripping over sugar. Like, you know, people say, yeah, I got something sweet. You never see that. You might have felt that way yourself. You know, not had an urge to eat, you know, now ladies, I just started eating them. Then I didn't want them, you know, but, you know. Anyway, so I guess the main thing about this is that, you know, we have these companies like this, they talk about this one guy that is Professor McCollum failed to record a single controlled scientific experiment with sugar between 1816 and 1940. Happily, we must remind ourselves that the scientists today and always accomplish little without a sponsor, right? So these scientists usually have a sponsor. This is why they like, it was a, sign when they seen this independent person come up and say, after research say sugar is a poison, they start saying, we got to find our own scientists to say sugar is not a poison. It's good for you because of this, right? And one guy, McCollum, they say he failed to come up with anything, right? I said the author and the publishers are indebted to the Nutrition Foundation, Inc. for a grant provided to meet a portion of the cost of the publication of the book they was writing, right? Dealing with this, you know, this whole thing about nutrition, right? So, you might ask, what is the Nutrition Foundation, Inc.? It happens to be the front organization for the leading sugar purchasing conglomerate in the food business. See, they have to see, and we know, we don't even know who these people are. I just heard of this to myself, right? So it's like, okay, so these guys, just, they form foundations that don't appear to us to be related to them, but is it directly? It's an extension of them. I'm not going to tell you to do research on my product to shut me down. They're not doing that. That's not what they want. That's what happened with Tyrone Hayes with the atrazine, right? Found out that it turned frog, male frogs into female frogs, and they had babies. And, well, they didn't want. They didn't want Tyrone Hayes to find them. They tried to shut them down, right? They didn't want it. Nobody's going to publish that. Why are you going to publish something about an insecticide you use that's causing male frogs to become female and give birth to children? That's a hell of a stunt like this. Because I don't want no part of that thing like this. But I'm getting off topic. But that's the idea that these guys, that's what they're saying, that these companies, right? Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, Curtis Candy Company, General Foods, General Mills, Nestle Company, Pet Milk Company, and Sunshine Business, about 44, 45 other companies, right? You know, but that was the money behind the grant that this guy was working with. So is he going to, you think they paying him to bring up something against them? No. Anyway. So that's what happens. We all know money talks and that other stuff walks. So sugar manufacturers keep trying and hoping that contributing generous research grants to colleges and universities, but the research laboratories never come up with anything solid the manufacturers can use, right? Because I guess it's pretty strong evidence and it's pretty well known what sugar does, what refined sugar does, and things like that. So it's, I guess it's one of those instances, you know, where you just, they still seem to be very powerful because no one stopped sugar from being sold, even though it's killing a lot of people, much as these drugs are. Time magazine reported that a Harvard biochemist and his assistants had worked with myriads of mice for more than 10 years, bankrolled by the Sugar Research Foundation, Inc., to the tune of $57,000 to find out how sugar causes dental cavities and how to prevent it. It took them 10 years to discover that there was no way to prevent sugar causing dental decay. 10 years? Come on, they just milked that. When the researchers reported their findings in the Dental Association Journal, their source of money dried up. See, that kind of stuff, right? Anyway, sucrose is pure energy at a price, they said, right? Sucrose, pure energy at a price. And the price, I guess, that we're paying is our health. So they say the sugar pushers turn up with a new pitch. They boasted there were 2,500 calories in a pound of sugar. A little over a quarter pound of sugar would produce 20% of the total daily quota. If you could buy all your food energy as cheaply as you buy calories and sugar, they said, your board bill for the year would be very low. If sugar were 7 cents a pound, it would cost less than $35 for a whole year, a very inexpensive way to kill yourself. Yeah, of course, you know, we don't live in any such unbalanced diet, so they admit it later. But that feature serves to point out how inexpensive sugar is as an energy builder food. What was once a luxury only for a privileged few could enjoy, right? Sugar, I guess sugar was like, you know, you gotta have some money, like cocaine, right? It just seems so much like cocaine to me, the whole history. It was once only a privileged few could enjoy. It's now food for the poorest of people. Like, that's like cocaine. And then you got crack, right? For the poets, right? Crack is cocaine, right? Cook, right? So, I mean, it's a hell of a correlation. Later, the sugar pushers advertised that sugar was chemically pure, topping Ivory soap in that department. Because, you know, Ivory soap is a pure soap, right? They even got a lot of junk in it, right? Being 99.9% pure against Ivory's vaulted 99.44% pure percent. No food of our everyday diet is pure. We were assured, right? What was meant by purity besides the unarguable fact that all vitamins and minerals, salts, fibers, and proteins had been removed in the refining process, right? They process anything that could be healthy to you out of it, right? Pure is a favorite adjective of the sugar pusher because it means one thing to the chemist and another thing to the ordinary person, right? When honey is labeled pure, it means that it is in its natural state, stolen directly from the bees who made it, with no adulteration, with sucrose to stretch it, and no harmful chemical residues which may have been sprayed on the flowers, right? None of that atrazine, right? It does not mean that the honey is free from minerals like iodine iron, calcium, phosphorus, and multiple vitamins. So effective is the purification process which sugarcane and beets undergo in their refineries that sugar ends up as chemically pure as morphine or heroin a chemist has on the laboratory shelves, right? So what a correlation. So, I mean, sugar is not a drug. It does everything a drug does. It you know, even its history, you know, like only the rich, you know, were privy to it at first. Now it's made available, right, cheaply to the poor folks. You know what I'm saying? And we got that crack out there, right? So, man. In the beginning of World War One, the sugar pushers coated their propaganda with a preparedness speech. Dietitians have known the high food value of sugar for a long time, said an industry track in the 1920s. But it took World War One to bring it home. The energy building power of sugar reaches the muscles in minutes, and it was of value to the soldiers in a ration given them just before an attack was launched, right? The sugar pushers have been harping on the energy building power of sucrose for years because it contains nothing else. Sucrose contains caloric energy, period. The quick energy claim that sugar pushers talk about, which drives reluctant doughboys over the top and drives children up the wall, is based on the fact that the refined sucrose is not digested in the mouth or the stomach, but passes directly to the lower intestines and then to the bloodstream. So it's like that's almost like shooting it up. That's the closest you can get to shooting it up, the lower intestine. I hear some people use drugs through the anus. I guess they must be going up to the intestines from there. Anyway, I mean, they just had such a correlation to drug use and history. I see why they call it a drug. And it has does the same stuff what a drug does. It quacks like a duck, looks like a duck. It's a duck. The extra speed which the sucrose enters the bloodstream does more harm than good, right? I can imagine that's like getting a rush, and then once you go up, you gotta come down. Sugars are classified by chemists as carbohydrates. This manufactured word, they say, means a substance containing carbon with oxygen and hydrogen. Remember, we talked about what carbohydrate is, right? If a chemist wants to use these hermetic terms in their laboratories when they talk to one another, fine. The use of the word carbohydrate outside of the laboratory, especially in food labeling and advertising lingo to describe both natural and complete cereal grains, which have been a principal food of mankind for thousands of years, and a man refined sugar, which is a manufactured drug and principal poison of mankind for only a few hundred of years, is demonstrably wicked. I did say it was even genius, right? The use of the word carbohydrate to describe sugar is deliberately misleading, they said. All right? So we've been hit with the advertisement of these interest groups, corporations, and they have money to paint the picture of sugar they want to paint. And they have money to continue to distribute, sell sugar, regardless of what scientists are saying about sugar, right? Chemists add to the confusion by using the word sugar to describe an entire group of substances that are similar but not identical. Now, I talked about that in the beginning, right? Glucose is a sugar found usually with other sugars and fruits and vegetables. It is a key material in metabolism of all plants and animals, right? Talked about that, right? Many of our principal foods are converted into glucose in our body. Glucose is always present in our bloodstream, and it is often called blood sugar. dextrose is called corn sugar. It is derived synthetically from starch. Fructose is fruit sugar. Maltose is malt sugar. Lactose is milk sugar. Sucrose is refined sugar made from sugar cane and sugar beet. Processed, refined, same thing, right? Empty, right? Glucose has always been an essential element in the human bloodstream. Sucrose addition is something new in the history of the human animal, they say, right? That's very, very important. So they're talking about how we are being indoctrinated and lied to about sugar. And because like sugar could be, you say, oh my, sugar's bad for you, baby. I had the conversation today. Sugar, and my friend said, wait a minute, we need sugar to, you know, we need glucose. What do you mean sugar's bad for you? How is that even possible? You know, so these guys, when they say sugar, it could mean the good sugar or the bad sugar. You don't know what they're talking about until you make it clear of which sugar you're talking about. And here, like I said, we're definitely not talking about glucose, right? The word sugar is described two substances which are far from being identical, right? That's where the confusion. That's where the confusion comes in. It makes possible for more sense from the sugar pushers who tell us how important sugar is an essential component of the human body, which it is. He's talking about glucose, right? But if you don't know he's talking about refined sugar, you don't get it, right? How it is oxidized to produce energy, how it is metabolized to produce warmth, and so on. They're talking about glucose, of course, which is manufactured in our body. However, one is led to believe that the manufacturers are talking about the sucrose, that which is made in their refinery. When the word sugar can mean the glucose in your blood as well as sucrose in your Coca-Cola. It's great for the sugar pushers, but it's rough on everybody else. See, this is deception, and you know. But read. You know, that's what I say. Read. We're running out of time. So there you go. So they have perverted the word natural in order to mislead the public also. They made natural ingredients. The sugar push to tell us about what product, about product after product. The word is not ascended on television. It should be. Even refined sugar is made from natural ingredients. There is nothing new about that. The natural ingredients are cane and beet, but that four-letter word from hardly suggests that 90% of the cane and beet have been removed. Heroin, too, could be advertised as being made from natural ingredients. The opium poppy is as natural as the sugar beet. It's what man does with it that changes it, but as I said, right? So these drug pushers are smart. They have the ability to influence scientists and advertising agencies and, of course, government. That's not smart. That's influential. How else could they be able to group sugar into a category it didn't belong, disguise it, and sell it to Joe Public? It is truly a case of the fox minding the chicken coop. Still, no one is kicking in the doors, their doors, confiscating their drugs, arresting them under the RICO Act, and they are at least co-responsible for the deaths of 25,000 people in the United States a year. Somebody help me with that. We've run out of time, and I'm just going to go right to sugar and mental health. They said that this one dude, he came up with this the idea that sugar impacted on your mental health. He believed that mental disease is the most I believe that mental disease is for the most part caused by abnormal reaction rates as determined by genetic constitution and diet, and by abnormal molecular concentrations of essential substances selection of food and drugs in a world that is undergoing rapid scientific and technological change may often be far from the best, right? So the food you eat could impact on your mental or stability, they said, right? They said, depending on high levels of sugar in the diet of various children who cannot handle it, right? Patients diagnosed with as schizophrenic reveal the diet of their choice is rich in sweet candy, cake, coffee, caffeinated beverages, and food paired with sugar. Dr. Pintera, right, insisted that all his patients submit to a 4-hour glucose tolerance test, right? And basically, he found a connection between glucose and sugar, not glucose, sugar consumption and schizophrenia. So I don't have time to really get into that thing because we're running out of the rest of this show because I'm running out of time. And I just, you know, I just want to say, guys got to start educating yourselves. This right here is really deep right here because, I mean, anybody's worried about COVID and you should be. I get it, the vaccine, COVID, and violence in your neighborhood is very important. This is important also. All right, this is an ongoing thing for a generation. Until next week, I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, and all my callers and listeners. I know this was a lot of information tonight, and I have plenty more, but I encourage you to do your own research. Until next week, y'all, peace out.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.